Happy Mother's Day.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Isn't it a wonderful day outside? It's probably going to get much nicer here today, but I'd just like to take this time to thank you all for being here and welcome you to Little Swatara. And before we get into our worship, I have a few announcements to make. I apologize. They might seem kind of lengthy here, but we do have quite a bit going on this month. So June 4th is, we'll be honoring our high school graduates here. So put that on your calendars, June 4th, and also June 11th. And this is a big one for the kids. We'll have Children's Sunday. There'll only be one service, 10:30. We will have Chris Ivy. He is a character juggler. So you got to come here and check this guy out. I'm sure he's absolutely amazing. And afterward, we'll have food and refreshments down in the pavilion. So please feel free to bring a covered dish, share with everyone. We'll have hot dogs and chicken and drinks provided. But please do bring something if you'd like to share. And then June 17th is the car, truck, tractor, motorcycle show, and there are many, many things going on. We have live music, a group that I actually do sound for. They'll be doing some oldies music and then a couple of contemporary Christian songs. I'd like to join playing with them also. And we will have some games that we're trying to put on, but we are shorthanded. So if there's anyone out there that would like to give us a hand, you can either come to me or come to my wife, Sarah. Our phone numbers are actually, I believe they're actually in the bulletin this week. I don't see them at the moment. But either way, if you'd like to give a hand, please let one of us know.
Yep.
They actually are in the bulletin, on the last page of the bulletin. We do need three people would be great, but if we could get at least two more, then we could do something for the kids here. And also, we will be forming membership classes in the coming very near future. So if anybody's interested in membership here, please see Pastor Matt. There'll be more information to come, but anybody that's interested, please see Pastor Matt. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to share, any announcements? Pat. Do we have a mic for Pat?
Pat, do you mind coming up to the mic and just using the mic at the podium? Thanks.
I just wanted to announce that this month's mission is family assistance, and we could really use some money toward helping people with like their fuel bill, their medical bills and such. And if you feel so compelled to give, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Anything else? So I'd like to ask you guys, stand up, welcome each other, and then we'll get into worship. Now, while I have you all on your feet, please join us in making a joyful noise and join us singing Shine, Jesus, Shine and Draw Me Close.
to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
That's the great news we have this morning, that our God is indeed near, and we praise him this morning. We thank him for the women among us. We thank you for physical mothers. We thank you for spiritual mothers this morning. And it is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. As always, we invite you to turn to your prayer concerns in your bulletin, but there will be a microphone coming around if anyone has any other prayer concerns you'd like to highlight. Just an update on myself. I did have my knee drained, and God is good. I'm able to walk normal again. There's a little plantar fasciitis that settled in, but I'm not worried about that. I'll be running marathons in no time, said no one ever. So thank you, God, for what he's been doing in my life. There's a microphone coming around.
Pastor Matt, my nephew, Rob Lignac, is home from his brain surgery, and the tumor part that they did remove again was cancerous. So they're looking at different medications. He has a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. So thank you for all the prayers and continue to keep them in them. I also have a wonderful joy. Owen Michael was born on Tuesday, very healthy. Both him and mom are home and doing well. Praise God.
Congratulations, yes.
We found out this week that Carl Brightbill is at Town Center. Maybe we can remember him with cards and our prayers as well. Burl says, room 303.
Just like to ask for prayers for my mom, Judy Walter. She'll be having a knee replacement done on Wednesday of this week. Thank God she's finally doing it.
Amen.
I have a long one this morning. My neighbor called me Tuesday morning and asked for prayers, and I've been in contact with her several times this week. Many of you may know the Jerry Noacker family from Burnville. They live on a farm, and their son lives there with them. Wanda Noacker has been in and out of the hospital. She's now home again with cancer. The prognosis is very, very sad. But Wanda's hanging in there doing the best she can. Tuesday, I put out over the prayer chain that their grandson, Jaden, who was 1.5, fell in the family farm pond. They have him in an induced coma. They're slowly bringing him out of it. They have done all the tests, and they say his brain is working fine, his heart is working fine, but they still have him heavily sedated. The police report says it was an accident. We all know how fast toddlers are, how quick they can get away. And as near as they can figure, he was in the pond about 5 minutes while they were searching for him. But the reports that came out have the family under investigation. They've been accused of abuse and neglect. So the parents cannot be alone with their 4-year-old daughters. They have to have supervision to even see their other two children. They're not allowed to stay at the Ronald McDonald House because they're under investigation. So until that is completed, they really need prayers. They're being kept from their other two children, and they really need our prayers, as does Jaden and his grandmother, Wanda.
Let's pray. Father, we take this moment to come before you, the great physician, the master healer, the one who knows intricately how our body is formed and how it works. And you know, Father, of those individuals on our prayer concerns that are dealing with a health issue right now. You know the struggle that they have, but Father, we know too that you have brought healing so many times to so many people. And we're just thinking of Jaden this morning and the healing touch that he needs right now. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would just allow your healing to be upon that precious boy. And I pray, Father, for the family that's under investigation, Father, that you would give them peace through all this. How difficult it must be not being able to see the remainder of the children and being near Jaden. But Father, we just pray release. We pray that you would allow them to be cleared, that there wouldn't be no accusations, that they could be with their family again. And we lift up Wanda as well and just pray your protection over her and your safety surrounding her. We think, Father, of Judy Walter with upcoming surgery, and we just praise you for this moment that she's decided to have a knee replacement. But Father, with that comes anxiety, and we're just lifting up Judy in a real way this morning, asking you to draw near to her and just give her that comfort that she's longing for as she faces this surgery. And may the surgeon's hands be guided, and may it be indeed successful. And we thank you, Father, for modern medicine and the way it works with you in our lives. And we just want to lift up this morning Carl Brightbill, and you know, Father, the rehab he's going through, and we're just praying strength, and we're praying for encouragement, and we just pray we would surround him with cards and others with cards and phone calls and visits, and just let one another know how much we love each other. And we just thank you for Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John, and for Carl and Faye, and for Earl and Grace, and for Carol and Pete, and for the safety of Lugva being released. Father, we praise you, and we ask for the rest of the girls, Father, in Jesus' name, you would allow them to be released as well. We think of Esther, and we think of Bonnie, and we think of Riley, and John, and Dottie, and Luann, and we think of Rob, and we think of the new life before us, and just thank you for grandparents, and for mothers here this morning, and for spiritual mothers, and we just pray that as a church family, we would look after one another, we would learn from one another, we would help each other to grow toward maturity in Christ, and we just, again, just thank you for Tim, and what you've done in his life, and pray continued healing upon Tim, that you would restore his memory, you would allow him to have a full recovery, and we just praise you, Father, for the place that you have brought him to this point. And there are so many more on our minds right now. We just lift up Donovan too, and you know the struggle he's going through right now and the hospital stay he's been enduring, and just pray that you would uplift him and allow him to see you through all this and just give his mother comfort and his family comfort, but just touch that boy's life and just allow him to know your healing as well. And we just come now before you, Father. You know the sins upon our hearts, the things that we continually are distracted by that keep us from following you as a fully surrendered follower. And we just ask now for forgiveness of those things and ask that we would turn away from them. And we also ask for prayers upon our hearts during this time of silent prayer. Father, we thank you for your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to pay the price for our sins, and the difference in our lives is made through the empty tomb, knowing that this life is not all there is. But as we trust, as we believe in you, and we stand steadfast to what your word says and live by it, we know that eternity awaits in a place called heaven, and we are so thankful for that knowledge. But Father, we pray that you would allow us to know your presence as we journey through this life. Allow us to know your hand upon us as we go through struggles, and you rejoice with us when we have those moments of triumph. And we just do thank you for every woman represented here this morning. We thank you for our own mothers. We all have one, and we just praise you for what they have done in our lives, and just thank you for the difference they've made over the years, and continue to bless them. But we also know, Father, mothers that have gone on before us and the legacy that's been left behind, and we just thank you for those memories that flood us this day. And today can be a difficult day for some mothers, and we just pray you would be beside them. They may have lost loved ones, children, over the course of time, and we just pray, Father, you would nurture them, especially this morning as they go through this Mother's Day. But we just pray, Father, we would recognize that there are spiritual mothers among us as well to help lead, guide, and direct us alongside the Holy Spirit who leads them. And we thank you for each one of them. We thank you for brothers. We thank you for sisters. And we thank you for fathers. But most of all, Father, we just thank you for you, our Heavenly Father, and the love that you pour out upon us. And may we continue to just worship you this morning. And may we give you glory in all that we do and say. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we continue to worship here and get into our next song, I'm led to think of the book of Psalm 1 through 3. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on a 10-string lyre or 6-string guitar. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Join me in singing, Lord, I Need You.
Fall upon.
As we enter in this time of offering, I've been asked to let everyone know that there's been a fund established here for air conditioning. And once we reach a certain level, I believe it's between 100 to 120,000, then there'll be a vote within the church here to see if installation can begin. So again, as you give today, if you'd like to, make a note in your offering if you'd like to go toward the air conditioning fund. There has been a fund established. As my daughter and I sing this next song for offering, I was thinking very much about this, and I think about strength and weakness and how we're all weak, and we look to our neighbor here at church and we say, why can't I be a good, strong Christian like them? And they're no different than we are. We're all weak, and we need his strength. And his strength is perfect. We are not, but his is. And as we enter an offering, I think of Chronicles. It would be 29, verse 14. But who am I, and who are my people, that we shouldn't be able to give as generously as this? Everything you, only what comes from your... I'm sorry, I misread that. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Please pray with me. Lord, help us give generously. Help us be generous givers, Lord, both of our money and of our lives, that we might make a difference. All great gifts, Lord, we know come from you. And for the blessings of this day and all of our days, we thank you, Lord, for you have given us so much so graciously. We pray all these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you.
like to invite the children. Come join me up front.
Are we squishing me in the corner today? Have you all hugged your mothers today?
I did because my mom is at grandma's house.
Well, you can give her a hug when she comes back. Well, if you haven't already.
But she's coming back in the night when I'm asleep.
Well, then you can hug her tomorrow morning. Well, if you haven't hugged her already today, I need you guys to give her a really big hug when you guys go back to your seats or after church. Because today is a very special day. Does anybody know what today is?
Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. Did you know that the Bible talks a lot about mothers? No, you didn't know that? Not all mothers love God, but those who do, the ones who really try to teach their children about God, have a very special place in his heart. God has made a promise to them, to the children who love and honor their parents. The Bible says, "Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord. Your God is serving you." Does your mother carry a purse? A really big purse? Well, my mom carries a big purse. Let's pretend this is my mom's purse. It is actually her purse, but it's not everything that she has in it. You might be surprised what you find in this purse. Do you want to take a look inside? Should we look and see what's in there? Let's take a look. Let's see. Oh, what's this? Anyone know what this is? A wallet. Or in specific terms, a coin purse. A mother must always be prepared for financial emergencies. Let's see. What's this little thing?
A flashlight.
It is not unusual for that electricity to come out and it become very, very dark. How about this?
A tissue box
with tissues. These things are very handy when you have that runny nose that just won't stop running, or how about those tears that you need some wiping for? How about this? What's this? Everybody loves this. What is it? It's chewing gum. A mother should always have chewing gum. It's something sweet to help encourage you when you're down in the dumps. How about this?
A mirror.
A handy dandy mirror. It's always good to check and make sure you're looking your best. But what's a mirror without? What's this?
Brush.
A brush. You need your brush to make sure you're always looking good. You may have that little mirror, but you need the brush. And how about this last thing I've got in here?
Bible.
A Bible. Every mother should carry a Bible. A mother should always keep the Bible in her purse. It will serve as a reliable guide when helping her children to stay on the right path. Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful for our godly mothers. We are thankful that they are always prepared to help their children and lead them on the right path. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You guys can go back to your seats.
The following reading is entitled Questions Without Answers. There are lots of gaps in our knowledge about our biblical heroes. We don't know anything about Jonah's childhood or what color Daniel had. We have no idea if Samson was a morning person or a night owl, or if Peter was a messy eater.
No one can definitely say if Abraham sucked his thumb way too long, or if Ruth had too rough, or if Ruth was too rough with her toys.
But there is one thing we know about all of them.
They all had mothers.
No doubt some lost their mothers early. Others may have been mama's boys, which went well into adulthood, and at least one floated away from his mother in a pitched, sealed basket.
But it would be fascinating to talk to those mothers. Think about all the questions you never knew you wanted answers to.
Did Noah show a fondness for matched pairs?
Was Samson in the habit of tossing his hair back like a model on a shampoo commercial?
Did Thomas believe in the tooth fairy?
What did Solomon build out of his alphabet blocks?
Did Paul have a pen pal?
Did Martha do Mary's chores for her?
Did David drive his family crazy by singing all the time?
Was Daniel a dog person or a cat person?
It would be fun to know the answers.
But what would we learn if we asked more personal questions?
Like?
Was Peter's mother worried when he chose a Nazarene carpenter as his rabbi?
How did Daniel's mother teach him to pray so fervently?
What sent the woman Jesus met at the well down the path to seeking her worth from men?
Did Jonah go to his mother for advice when God called him to Nineveh?
What was it like to hold the tiny hand of the Son of God as he learned how to walk?
We can't know the answers to these,
but we know for sure that just like each of us, these biblical figures were shaped by the presence of or lack of motherly influence in their lives.
We can't ask them how their mothers affected them, but some of us could hop in the car or pick up the phone and ask our own mothers questions we've never thought to ask.
Who was your first boyfriend?
How did you meet my dad?
How did you come to know Christ?
What was the hardest part of being my mom?
There is no one-size-fits-all description for the relationships we have with our mothers. They can be complicated or simple, beautiful or troubled, closed or distant.
But one thing is for certain. God believes in the power of mothers. They have not only shaped heroes of the faith, many are heroes of the faith in their own right.
So today, mothers of the world, we honor you. Not only our own mothers, but all the mothers in our churches, our workplaces, and our communities.
We thank God for you. We commit to honor and cherish you. When you are young, we will stand alongside you and support you and pray for you.
When you are old, we will care for you and we will seek your wisdom and counsel. We will honor your legacy.
We will strive to live up to the psalmist's words that children are a treasure from the Lord. We will follow Christ because so many of you have pointed the way.
And with the author of Proverbs, we will pray this blessing.
May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful.
Proverbs 23:25.
We all have one. Once upon a memory, someone wiped away a tear, held me close and loved me. Thank you, Mother dear, for the million things you gave, the tears you shed, your heart of purest gold, for eyes shining bright with love, and always being right when things seemed so wrong. That word, Mother, in one way or another, means the world to us. Howard Johnson penned this prayer. Dear Lord, it's such a hectic day, with little time to stop and pray. For life's been anything but calm since you called on me to be a mom. Running errands, matching socks, building dreams with building blocks, cooking, cleaning, and finding shoes, and other stuff that children lose. Fitting lids on bottled bugs, wiping tears, and giving hugs. A stack of last week's mail to read. So where's the quiet time I need? Yet when I steal a minute, Lord, just at the sink or ironing board, to ask the blessings of your grace, I see them in my small one's face, that you have blessed me all the while, and I stop to kiss that precious smile. These are sentiments we find rather fitting for this day. But what if What if we shake things up a little bit this Mother's Day? There's a passage in Matthew's gospel that makes us go, It's Matthew 12, 46 to 50. And here's what it says. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So ponder this with me for a moment. Who is your mother? We think it's an easy answer. The woman who gave birth to us. But could there be more? Is Jesus referencing another kind of mother in our lives? The scripture seems to say so. And here's more evidence of such knowledge. Listen in on 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Now, I'm not about to take away from the need to be obedient and to honor our mothers, but Jesus is on to something here. He believes it's just as important to realize we indeed have other mothers. Some aren't even related to us. Some may not even have children of their own. However, here's where Jesus starts to make total sense. If we are part of God's family, and they are part of God's family, they fall into the category of what Jesus would call spiritual mothers, not to exclude fathers, brothers, and sisters. So in the same way, friends, we treat each of them the same way as our own, with respect and obedience. But let's go even deeper. Let's look at this passage from a theological standpoint. During his 3-year ministry, Jesus shattered some prevailing notions of what it meant to be part of a family. Notice again what he says in verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now it's important we clear up a few misconceptions. As we alluded earlier, Jesus is not saying that a biological family isn't important. He's not dismissing his own mother and brothers. Instead, what he's doing here is brilliant. He's making the clear theological point that in the kingdom of heaven, when all things are made new, the most significant family connection is spiritual, not physical. This truth is made even more explicit in John's gospel when the evangelist says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. John 1, 12 and 13. So what else might we find in the Bible about family? There's plenty. The concept of family is extremely central throughout, both in a physical sense and in a theological sense. This concept's introduced for the first time in the very beginning, Genesis 1, 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God's plan for creation was for men and women to marry and have children. A man and a woman would form a one flesh union through marriage. Genesis 2:24. And they, with their children, become a family, the essential building block of human society. We also see early on that family members were to look after and care for one another. What did God ask Cain? Where is Abel, your brother? And do you remember Cain's response? It was so flippant, wasn't it? Am I my brother's keeper? God was not at all impressed. Cain indeed was expected to be Abel's keeper, and Abel was to be Cain's. The Bible couldn't possibly have a more communal sense of people than family. In our Western culture, it's becoming more and more individualized. We may ask this morning, why is that such an issue? Remember what I said earlier, the family is the most essential building block of society. It's sad to say, but family has greater priority in the Middle East, and definitely more in the ancient Near East. When God saved Noah from the flood, it wasn't an individual case salvation, but a salvation for him, his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives. In other words, his family was saved. Genesis 6:18. When God called Abraham out of Haran, he called not only him, but called what? His family. Genesis 12:4-5. The sign of the Abrahamic covenant, circumcision, was to be applied to all males within one's household, whether they were born into the family or are part of the household staff, a.k.a. slaves. Genesis 17:12-13. In other words, God's covenant with Abraham was family-focused, not individual. We look no further than the Mosaic covenant. Two of the Ten Commandments deal with maintaining the cohesiveness of family. The fifth commandment regarding honoring parents is meant to preserve the authority of parents in family matters. And the seventh commandment prohibiting adultery protects the sanctity of marriage. So we wonder, where did it all go wrong? Marriage and family have seemed to lost their meaning. Well, we might argue this morning, well, that's an Old Testament phenomenon. Well, guess what, friends? The New Testament makes as many, if not more, of the same commands and prohibitions. This is serious stuff. This is the fabric of society. Jesus speaks clearly on the sanctity of marriage and against thoughtless divorce. The Apostle Paul talks about what Christian homes should look like when he gives the two commands for children to obey their parents and for parents not to provoke their children. Ephesians 6:1-4 and Colossians 3:20-21. Just when we think it can't get any better, we see similar New Testament concepts regarding the importance of family in the process of salvation in the book of Acts. When on two separate occasions during Paul's second missionary journey, entire households were baptized at the conversion of one individual. Acts 16:11-15 and 31-33. Now we could make an argument that when God saves an individual, his desire, speaking from a moral revealed will perspective, is for the family to be saved. Clearly, friends, God's desire isn't to save isolated individuals, but entire households. So why all this theology? Can't we just say Happy Mother's Day and be on with it? Not really. And here's why. Because what Jesus says is far more important than what society says. There's more parallels here than we can even begin to conceptualize. When we're born physically, we're born into a physical family. But when we're born again, we're born into a spiritual family. To use Pauline language, we're adopted into God's family, Romans 8:15. And when we're adopted into God's spiritual family, the church, God becomes our father and Jesus our brother. There's no such thing as ethnicity, no such thing as gender, no social standing. Galatians 3, 26 to 29, as Paul says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And even greater, as we look around, we see the new creation God is making in the transformation within us. Made up of this spiritual family, this church called Little Swatara, people like you and I who are calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, this is the family that's described in Revelation 7:9. From every nation, tribe, people, and language. And here's the thing. Here's what makes this family, this church, the most powerful force on earth. And it reads in John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's no surprise whatsoever. This concept of family goes beyond the physical to the theological. So let's get down and gritty, the practical, and apply this to life. I'd like to challenge us in this spiritual family we call church to have a Barnabas, to have a Timothy in our lives at all times. We know that a Barnabas is someone to mentor us, and we know that a Timothy is someone to mentor. So mothers, and I'm referencing all women here, who are you mothering? Fathers, brothers, sisters, where are you in making this happen? The truth is, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to think for one second, I can't do that. All it takes is transparency and honesty, struggles and triumphs. And here's the bonus. When you teach someone, you learn even better yourself. Simply remember that we support others. We don't supervise. There's not a single one of us who likes having someone hanging over our shoulders telling us what we're doing wrong. Instead, we couldn't be happier to have an extra set of hands or another listening ear. And here's the difference. Here's how we make it happen. We allow ourselves to be available. It sounds scary, doesn't it? Making ourselves available. But friends, it is entirely biblical. Maybe someone mentored you, and they're more like your spiritual mother or father. Your life wouldn't be the same without them. Now, I get the fact this idea of family becomes difficult to avoid, but it doesn't mean we don't try. For some, I know family conjures up feelings of pain. It's no secret every family experiences stress. God did create teenagers, after all. But with that being said, let's not forget we're commanded to minister to our family. 1 Timothy 3:5 couldn't be more clear. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? You see, family must be our first priority. It takes commitment. Here's a tragedy I read from an Evening Post. A woman wrote this. To prove his love for her, he swam the deepest river, crossed the widest desert, and climbed the highest mountain. The tragedy? She left and divorced him. He was never home. You see, it's not always quality time versus quantity time. There's a common misconception, and I can hear toes crunching now, that if I have quality time with our family, that's enough. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Who defines quality time? Let the truth be told, if we're going to invest in our family, it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It's better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. I can't tell you the number of times I fell through on promises to my children. And it breaks my heart to this very day. And don't think for one second they don't remember. There comes a point. We have to count the cost and pay the price. It's imperative, friends, that we finish well. Our greatest goal is to pass on that truth we know from generation to generation. When truth begins to break down, when it becomes slightly weakened, more and more things become doubted. Families, I'm speaking directly to you right now. If you don't do this, start a regular time of reading the Bible and praying. Memorize scripture together. Have contests to learn the Bible. Make it fun. Encourage personal Bible study. Have a series as a family. But please, take the time to turn off the TV, the electronics, and focus. Focus on what God has for you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it well. Every Christian community must realize that not only do the weak need the strong, but also that the strong cannot exist without the weak. The elimination of the weak is the death of the fellowship. Plato has it right when he says, "What is honored in the land will be cultivated there." Let's start right here at Little Swatara. What do we honor? Do we honor God? Do we honor family? Do we honor one another? We recognize there's a level of pride that has to die. It's not easy. It was never meant to be. It takes sacrifice. It takes deliberate action. Yet, know this, friends. It's commanded. It's no secret that honoring our family is going to take guts. But friends, it has such far-reaching effects. There's more than we're ever going to see. So who's it going to start with? Let this be the church that others identify as loving one another. Let this be the church that we see the advantages of mentoring and being mentored. Let this be the church that God is glorified and honored most of all. And it starts with each of us. The question is, are we up to the challenge? Are we willing to make ourselves available? As the praise team makes their way forward for our closing song, let's pray. Father, you know the challenge before us. We recognize that a family is difficult to maintain and to keep together. But Father, we know a difference it makes when we have a listening ear, when we have that extra helping hand. And Father, we know many of us are widowed. We don't have family immediately with us, but what a church family could be if we would reach out and love well. So Father, I pray that you would continue to impress upon our hearts the need to encourage, the need to uplift, the need to make love known through our words and actions. We can't do this alone. It takes the entire church. So I pray now in Jesus' most powerful name, that you would stir us, you would motivate us, you would move us toward that action of being a family. Thank you for the mothers here this morning. Bless them, Father. Thank you for every woman here this morning. Bless them. All brothers, all fathers, all sisters, bless them and let them know how loved they are. And we thank you in Jesus' name for what you're going to do through our lives. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Please rise and join us. Come thou fount, as we continue to praise Jesus.
Father God, we indeed give you our hearts, and we ask that you would indeed seal them. And we ask you, Father, to use us and to continue to use us as we move forth as a family of God. Bless each one here this morning. Allow them to go in peace. Allow them to go knowing that they have a neighbor that cares, that loves, and wants to encourage them and be with them through this life we call a journey. So we ask now, Father, that you would dismiss us and allow us to go to our families and celebrate this Mother's Day, knowing that you are our foundation. And may this family continue to grow, and may it be blessed. In Jesus' name,